Lord, we want to thank you for this day that you've given to us. We want to thank you for all the blessings that have fallen upon us, Lord, these days. Lord, we come before you with great rejoicing and with great thanksgiving. And Lord, we acknowledge that you are the giver of all good things. I pray for your guidance this day, Lord. And again this day, Lord, we would submit ourselves into your hand, under your authority, acknowledging, Lord, that we are only instruments in your hand. That, Lord, you are the head of the church. You are the great shepherd of the sheep, O Lord. So, Lord, I pray that we would be fed by heavenly manna this day. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I would like you to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the 12th chapter of Revelation. There is much good mining material here. Where's the brother that's with the copper mine? Are you here today, brother? You're here. I thought I saw you. Yes, there you are. Brother, understand something about mining? You dig in the earth until you find the treasure that you're looking for. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking for treasure today. Amen. So, let's start off here. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. Amen. A great wonder in heaven. A woman. Amen. Can we draw a little picture of a woman here? I'm not a good artist either. Amen. Does that sort of look like a woman? Not very good, is it? Well, she's looking off this way here somewhere. I should get Bert to draw it. He draws sick people. At least you know that's a woman. Amen. Now let's see. The woman is clothed with the sun. I don't have colors. So we're going to have to clothe her with the glory of the sun. Amen. It says that she has a crown on her head. I think this one's wearing out already. We'll try this other one here. She has a crown on her head with 12 stars. Well, anyway, this one's wearing out too. Anybody got any fresh ones? All right, so she has the picture of her. Now let's go through the picture. It says, and the moon is under her feet. So maybe I can get a moon here. No, that one's gone. All right, we get a moon here. The moon is under her feet. And it says that she is crying, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. So we have another entity within her. I'll make this one a stick man. That doesn't show up very good. Oh.
Yeah.
Within her being is another one. Pain to be delivered. Okay, it says being with child, travailing to be delivered. Now let's go a little further here. We'll talk about the meaning of this here in a little bit. It says, and there, verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. Ah, we have a new one. And 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, let's stop for a minute. What you have here is a picture of 3 churches. Well, Brother Mark, how do you get 3 churches out of this? First of all, when you find a woman as a type, it always represents a church. Can be a true church or can be a false harlot type church. Remember when we read in Revelation chapter 17, there was a woman again who was involved with this scarlet colored beast. In fact, I believe she was riding the beast. She was in control. And so that is also a type of church. That's a false church. A harlot church. It's a form of religion, but it's not God's church. How many of you know that God has only one church? One true church. Amen. But there are places in that church where we're either fully following the Lord or we're not fully following the Lord. So we want to look at these churches. A woman is a church. And the moon is also a church. Well, now how do we get a moon being a church? Remember that Joseph had some dreams. And one of the dreams that Joseph had was he dreamed that the moon and the sun and the stars bowed down to him. His brothers were offended at this dream because they understood that they were stars. But Jacob understood the dream. He said, "You mean your mother and I will also bow?" So Jacob understood that the moon represented the mother. And the sun represented the father. Amen.
Amen.
So we have a moon church, which is an old order church. Now, the prophecies that Jesus gave concerning his coming, he mentioned the moon, did he not? It says that the star, the sun will be darkened, which means that the light of God, the truth of God, is going to be darkened in the earth. The light of God is already being darkened in many places. He also said that the stars will fall. Now, what are stars? When you think of stars falling, what are you thinking of? Are you thinking one of those that shine in the sky are going to come and fall to the earth? Well, that can't happen. Do you know that these stars that we see shining in the sky, most of them are larger than our sun? If one of these stars were to fall to our earth would be immediately destroyed. So when we're talking about the stars, we're talking about those that have been bright ones in the kingdom of God.
Ah,
there have been already many, many servants of God that have fallen from their place in God. They have been stars. You know, we don't have a hard time understanding that men are stars, do we? We understand Hollywood stars. We understand football stars and sports stars. Amen. So the stars are the bright ones. Many bright ones that have had great television ministries have fallen into sin. Fallen from their place and their calling in God down to a carnal, earthly realm. And then the prophetic word, and I think we can find that in Matthew 24, can't we? About the moon turning to blood. Let's see if we can find that verse. It's not quite the one I'm looking for. I'll read it in Matthew 29. Where's the one that says the moon will turn to blood? Apparently not in Matthew. It's in Joel, isn't it? Well, let me read the one in Matthew first. Maybe you can help me find the one in Joel. In Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. So here's a church that's not going to be able to give her light at all. Okay? The moon will not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So we're talking about this situation right here where the powers of heaven are going to be shaken. Let's see if we can find the one about the Joel 2. I have Joel 2, chapter 31. Yes. Joel 2, chapter 31. Let's start with verse 30 here. And I will show wonders in the heaven and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Start in verse 30 first. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now, remember, brethren, this is part of the scripture that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. And the first part of this prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost.
When you're not so much, you can't even take a prophecy.
where he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters prophesy. Old men dream dreams, young men see visions. Upon servants and handmaids will I pour out my spirit. And brethren, this is not just a historical event of 2,000 years ago. This is something that if we will receive it, God is still doing this today. I still expect to see the young handmaidens prophesying and proclaiming the goodness of the Lord. Little children receiving the goodness of the Lord. Amen. They are open to the Spirit of God. Amen. The example that Bert gave you several days ago of his grandchildren. Little children are seeing things in the Spirit that sometimes we miss. Amen. I remember one time that we had meetings in our home fellowship. Brother Campbell was there bringing a word. I don't know what word he was bringing. And my little granddaughter was there. She was 3 or 4 years old. And at the very last meeting, after the last meeting, and I stood up and I said, this is the last meeting. Is there anything else that anybody would like? Anybody have anything to add to this? And she was sitting about where this little girl is sitting, right here. And she came up front and she was about this tall and she wrapped her arms around my leg. And I reached down and I kind of pried her loose and I said, honey, what did you come up here for? And she looked up at me and she said, I want Jesus to come into my heart. Amen. These are the things that are going to happen in these end times, brethren. We are living in these times. Expect to see your children blessed. Amen. But he also says that the moon will be turned into blood. There's a church that's going to be turned into blood. Now this moon church, I'm going to call it the old order church. Remember, there was a day when the church of David began to rise up over the church of Saul. You say, well, Brother Meyer, you're taking liberty by calling it a church, aren't you? Well, let me read you what it says in 2 Samuel. I think Brother Mark wanted to read this verse several days ago, didn't you? And it's in the it's in the third chapter. It says, "Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David." The first verse, yeah. The first verse of chapter 3. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Now, what's the difference between the house of Saul and the house of David, spiritually speaking? The house of Saul represents the old order church. Man's order. Man's choice. The old pastor-oriented system. And so it speaks of man's order. But the reign of David speaks of God's order. Amen. The house of David speaks of the rising of Jesus Christ. The anointed choice of God. Saul was tall and handsome, but he was also stubborn and rebellious. And finally it came to the point where God could no longer use him. And so the house of David got stronger and stronger. And brethren, we're going to see the kingdom of God is going to get stronger and stronger in the earth. The old order church system is coming under the feet of the woman church. So this woman, you see, she has 12 stars in her crown. That's not a halo, that's supposed to be a crown, but I'm not a good artist. And what does the number 12 speak of? It speaks of divine government. You see, David was a type of divine government. He was chosen by God. Saul was the people's choice. Amen.
Amen.
And so she has that upon her head. She has the favor of God in her government. There's nothing unclean about this woman. She's clothed in the righteousness of God. Amen. So she's a virgin, isn't she? In type. And yet, there is a third church within her. In her womb, there is a third church growing. Now, brethren, I believe that this is the place that we are right now. Most of us have come out of some old order moon church. We've come up higher. We've come up into God's divine order. And yet there is something more waiting to come forth. We desire to move in the fullness of Christ, do we not? We desire to walk in the authority of Jesus Christ. We desire to walk as Peter walked when his shadow would fall upon people. That was a foretaste of what's coming, brethren. And so the seed of the word is planted in her womb. And yet you feel the travail within your own soul, do you not? We're not satisfied where we are. We're not satisfied just bringing you the kingdom principle words. We're not satisfied until the day that we can walk them out. And so there's a cry in this woman. There's a travailing cry. She's in pain. She's in tribulation. She's going through fiery trials. Amen. She's afflicted sometimes. Her body is afflicted. Oh God, I need healing. Oh God. Sometimes she's hungry. Oh God, you're going to supply my needs. She's cold. Sometimes she needs clothing. So there's a woman standing in this position. But here's a church waiting to come forth. Now the nature of this church is different. You notice that it says it's a man child. Well, Brother Mark, you said a woman is a church. How can this man child be a church? So what the Lord is saying here is that the nature of this new church that's going to come forth out of the woman is going to be changed. You see, when God made male and female, He made them a little different by design and purpose. The nature of a natural woman is she desires to bring forth child, but she must receive seed from the man in order to bring forth a child. But the way the Lord made man is simply the giver of the seed. So in the present condition, we as a church, we need the life of God in order for us to bring forth. Makita madayag din sa atong kinabuhi. I think Bert used the term yesterday, the overshadowing. We as a church need to be overshadowed by the Lord in order for us to come forth as a man child. Amen. Now, where does this overshadowing take place? This overshadowing takes place in the wedding chamber. When the bride and the bridegroom come together. And the bride is overshadowed then. And this is what happened to Mary. She said to Gabriel, "Be it unto me according to the will of the Lord." And the Holy Spirit came upon her, and the seed of God was planted in her womb. And she brought forth the first man child to come forth, Jesus Christ. So here we are now, a barren woman, crying out to the Lord, a woman church, "Lord, we want to bring forth a man child." You see, the Lord left Sarah barren for 90 years. And again, there was a time of the bringing forth of that promised seed. You could look at so many examples. Women that were barren cried out to the Lord, travail before the Lord. Look how Hannah cried out to the Lord in her place of tribulation. Hannah. She was in a very trying, tribulation place with this other woman that was tormenting her. And she went to the house of God and she began to cry out to the Lord. "Lord, I can't remain barren all my life. Lord, I need an opportunity to bring forth a promised seed." And the Lord heard her prayer. And she brought forth Samuel. And Samuel, again, is another type of this man-child. So, the man-child that she's bringing forth . When the head is Jesus Christ, I should do it like this. When you add Christ to the body, you have a full developed man child. So we're waiting to be fully joined to Christ, are we not? So that's going to change the nature from a female to a man child.
Mau kena pag-usap sa mga sitwasyon gikan sa babae o sa mahimong o sa kaanak.
The bride and the groom joined as one. And when anyone sees it, all they're going to see is one. They're only going to see Christ in us. Because the body is going to be completely under the control of the head. See, my body obeys my head. I want to reach for this. I tell my right hand to reach for it. But the left hand doesn't come and say, "No, it's my turn." I go to shake your hand. No, you always get to shake hands. My turn to shake hands. No, my body isn't in conflict with each other. When I want to rise to my feet and walk, every part of my body agrees with the command that I'm going to walk. The balance mechanisms that are inside of my ears, they obey. They say, give the man perfect balance while he walks. The feet, the shifting of my balance, the toes that control the direction of my walk. I move, I shift the weight of my hand. You don't realize you do all these things just to get up and walk. My eyes cooperate. My eyes don't decide, "Oh, I want to look over here." No, eyes, you have to help this man walk. See, we're talking about the body of Christ now. Amen. We need to come under the direction of the headship of Jesus Christ. Now, this birth of this man-child, hell is not rejoicing about this. Amen.
Amen.
What does it say? We'll go back into Revelation. Another wonder in heaven, a great red dragon. What is this great red dragon? What is this great red dragon? Who is he? It's Satan. Satan and his kingdom. Amen. Now, he has a certain description here. He says he has seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns on the heads. Did you find that in verse 3?
Yes.
So, if you read the book of Revelation, you'll find that it interprets itself. It says very clearly that these heads are seven nations and the ten horns are ten leaders, ten men. What is the term that they're using for before this. This is in existence already. You just don't know who these men are yet. But it's here. All the world leaders are talking about this organization. They're calling it the New World Order. My goodness. 8:16. At least 16 years ago, I remember the George Bush Sr. Using the term in one of his speeches that we need a new world order. And so the propaganda for Satan's empire has been going out to the people for a long time. Satan has been wanting you to accept his new world order. Now this isn't the first time that Satan tried to take over the whole world, is it? What was the first time that he tried? He tried with Nimrod. Not long after the flood of Noah. And he built the city of Babylon, and they built the Tower of Babel. And God came along and God stopped them. He said, no, it is way too early for me to allow anything like this to happen. It's because of Nimrod that brother has to translate here today. Because God was not going to allow the whole world to come together in a devil plan. And the devil knows that when this child is born, it is going to be a threat to his kingdom. You see, he thought he destroyed a man-child when he had Jesus crucified. But it was all part of God's plan. Because what does it say in the book of Hebrews? The plan of God is bringing forth many sons into glory. So this man-child is not just a single entity individual. It's not simply one man. A many-membered company. And it has many names. But one of the names will be the man-child. Amen. We can call him the 144,000. We can call him the Two Witnesses Company. Amen. Give me some other ideas. What are some other names that we call this company? The Overcomers. The First Fruits Company, yes. Joel's Army. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, these are not all different companies. This is all different descriptions of one people that is going to come forth in this last day. And why are we bringing you this word? It is a word that is inviting you to be a part of this man-child company. We are bringing this word to the woman church. I am not preaching to the old moon order church. Come out of that old moon order church. Come above it. Put it under your feet. Hallelujah. So, the devil, with his new world order, believes that he can destroy this move of God in the last day. He's waiting at the womb of the woman, waiting to see when this man-child is going to come forth. The devil is very worried. Amen. He knows that the church is going to take the gates of hell. And yet, he has a plan. He believes that he can devour us as soon as we come forth in the fullness of Christ. Amen. But as soon as this man-child comes forth, he's caught up to the throne of God. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean he got raptured? No. What does the throne of God represent? How do you do 3D here? There we go. There's a chair. No, I'm not going to draw God. Just the glory. Amen.
Amen.
When you... Most of us have absolutely no experience with a real king. We have no idea what a real king was like. We have experienced presidents and dictators and this type of thing. But a king has absolute, ultimate authority. And so if this man-child is caught up to a throne, the throne of God, it's not because he's going to usurp God off of his throne. It's because God is giving him a place of authority. And if we have a place of authority, that means that he puts his word in us, and the word that we say is the word of God, the authority of God. If this man says, "It shall not rain upon the earth for 6 months," then that's what's going to happen.
Amen.
You see, Elijah spoke the authority of God when he said these things. So, brethren, we look forward to that time when we are caught up in the fullness of Christ. By the way, this word caught up, let me find it here. Caught up, yes. The phrase here, caught up, in this passage of Revelation, is, I believe, the same word that is used in Thessalonians. That says that we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And it is the same word that Paul used when he said, I knew a man some years ago, whether he was in the spirit or in the flesh, I do not know, but he was caught up to the third heaven. Now, as far as we know, Paul did not disappear from the earth. He stayed here and he ministered until the day he died. Amen. So, what it means is to be forcibly moved in a place in God. So God is going to see to it that this man child is not destroyed. Yes, Brother Mark.
It's also the same word when Philip was caught away.
Yes, I was going to say that too. That would be the word apentesis. Amen, I believe.
Greek yes. word. That's a Greek yes. word.
It's a Greek word.
A Greek word.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so it says, here's something interesting now, before we go any further.
It
says, all this happened in heaven. A wonder in heaven. This devil in heaven. Keep that in mind. Let's go a little further. In verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Where's all this happening? If we're the church, are we in heaven? And what's the devil doing in heaven? I thought he was cast out of heaven. How'd he get back there? we need to understand a little definition of the word heaven. Okay? The word heaven means a spiritual place. You understand in some of the first meetings where we were talking about mansions. And these natural buildings they're not heavenly. Where we're having the meeting today. We could say this hotel is a great dwelling place. But it's not heavenly, it's not spiritual, it's a natural place. Amen? So, heaven is a spiritual place. And there are higher spiritual places, and there are lower spiritual places. And there is a spiritual place in our soul. And there's a place where war takes place in our soul. How many of you are aware of the warring that's taking place in your soul? The wars in your mind, the wars in your emotions. The struggle with your will. You can't see the devil in your soul, but he has agents that are whispering to you, trying to get you to go this way. Trying to get you to think these kind of thoughts. Trying to get you to have a certain kind of visions. Wanting you to lust after this and wanting to deceive you about that. And brethren, there will be war. When Paul said to the church, I know that when I am gone, wolves are going to come against the church. He knew that the devil was going to send his wolves out against the church. And this is why he said to the elders, elders, you must be steadfast with the word that I have taught you. You must watch the sheep because there will be warfare. Now, the war is already going on. But the war is going to get greater and greater intensity. As Satan's kingdom comes more and more into its play, he's going to be making more and more demands upon the people of God. But you see, the good news is, as Satan gets stronger, we are going to get stronger. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A little clap break. Amen. It says that Michael is going to come to help the church. Amen. came to bring a message to the prophet Daniel. Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days. But Gabriel couldn't get through. He said, the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. And he said, finally, God had to send Michael. Michael is probably the most mightiest of all the archangels. We only know the name of three archangels. There's Michael. It means, his name means like unto God. Gabriel. See that little suffix there, L, means like God. Gabriel, messenger of God. And then there was Heliel, who was the leader of God's praise in heaven. And Heliel, of course, was fallen. He's no longer Heliel, he's now Devel. No, Devel, not El, I-L. Fallen one. Amen. He was once a bright one, but he's not bright anymore. Now he's the king of darkness. So Michael is coming for the final war against Satan. Coming and warring. Amen. Michael is going to help us. He's going to help the church. The church is in this place. Maybe we could kind of draw it like this. Here's a level of heaven. Amen. There's war going on in this level. Down here in our lower realm, we call it earth. Carnal, earthy realm. It's still a heavenly realm. It's down in my lower realms of thinking and this type of thing. There's a lower realm. But there's a higher place too. And so this man-child is immediately caught up into a higher realm. But the result of this war is that Satan is cast down. Satan goes down, man-child is caught up. Now, however, down, we're still down here. We are in the world, but not of the world. Our feet are here. I walk in the natural. I walk down here. But I'm not warring down here anymore. I'm in a higher realm. And I'm going to be in an even higher realm. Amen. Now, what is happening here when Satan is cast out of this heaven realm? It definitely says that he is cast down to earth. That means that there are more limitations being put on him. he is going to have to confine his activity to the carnal realm on earth now. Partly, you see, the church joining with Michael. Do you understand what I'm saying? The heavenly host and the church earth host. Michael pressing Satan down. Satan's activity on the earth increasing. Do you understand why such great wickedness is coming forth on the earth in this day and in this hour? Do you understand why the political systems are becoming the way they are? I believe that Satan is beginning more and more to feel the pressure as he's pressed. And brethren, we are going to continue to pray and to press the gates of hell. We are going to continue to demand the release of the hold of Satan upon us and upon our loved ones and upon the church. I remember years ago something that really surprised me. There was an old Jamaican woman in our fellowship. She's passed away now and gone to be with the Lord. She's died, yeah. And she wanted us to come to her place and pray for her one day. So we went to her place, my wife and I. And there were unclean spirits that were coming against her. Against her. Yeah. And we bound those spirits in the name of Jesus. The next day, she said that unclean spirit spoke to her. And the spirit said to her, "Tell that man I want to be released. I don't want to be bound anymore." And I said, "No, we are not going to release that spirit." It was quite a number of years ago, and it was quite a surprise to me to have this little window into the spirit realm opened up, to realize that when we say to the spirit, "You are bound," that it is really bound. Years ago, my wife said to me one time, as we would travel, we would bind every power and every principality through every place that we were going to travel. And when we got home, she said, these principalities and powers are angry because we left them bound, we did not loose them, and now they're trying to get loose.
Amen.
heavenly places, are we not? Amen.
Amen.
Set your affection where? On things above, not on earthy things. Why? Because your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. God wants sons who are heavenly oriented. Spiritually oriented. Amen. And so the devil is cast out of the soul of man, out of the church, of the believers. He is going to be completely put out of my soul. There's not going to be any more room in my soul to be hearing the words of Satan. He is going down. Amen. The old order is going down. The new order is coming up. Hallelujah. You have time for a little more? We've got more of the chapter left. Can you handle a little more? Okay. All right, so it says here in verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, you notice that John keeps talking about things that he's seeing in heaven. He's seeing and hearing in heaven. Well, where was John when all this was happening? In this realm, he was on the Isle of Patmos. But he said, I was in the Spirit. So John, his feet, you can say, were on the Isle of Patmos. But he was, you see, he was in the Spirit. His soul was in a heavenly place. His soul had come to the Spirit place. And he probably didn't know where his body was. Amen.
Amen.
So he heard with a loud voice. Have any of you ever heard a loud voice from the Spirit? Did God ever have to get loud with you? I think one of the first times that I heard the voice of the Spirit, he had to get very loud with me. I was so busy crying and carrying on and praying and telling God all my troubles. And he put a trumpet of his voice right up to my ribs. And he blasted the words right through me. And he said, will you bear with me a little while longer? I mean, it was loud. After that, I thought that maybe I need to quiet down a little bit if I want to hear what God has to say.
Yeah.
So John heard a loud voice saying, now. Now. When is now? Yesterday? No. Tomorrow? No. Today? Today. This hour. Now is come. So when this war happens, when this man-child is born and caught up, when Satan is cast down to the earth, now is come salvation. So you see, we don't have to get into a big debate about what is salvation. Am I saved? Am I being saved? Am I going to be saved? You see, in the Old Testament, when David talked about his salvation, he was talking about the day that all his enemies were under his feet. When David longed for the salvation of God, he longed to be in the place of God. No devil, no enemy could touch him anymore. So you see, we're coming to that place. Now is come salvation. What else? Now is come strength. Strength. Amen. How many of you need strength? How many of you need more strength? I need more strength. Amen. I want more strength. Amen. Salvation and strength. And the kingdom. And the kingdom. And what else? And power. Now, I'm not sure in what order these words are. They don't, in the English, they don't exactly mean what they seem to say. This word power, I believe, means authority. And I believe the word strength means dunamis. Which is the actual working out of the power. So ordinarily in English, we would call this power, and we would call this word authority. You know the difference between power and authority? An army tank, big guns, big tracks, big powerful engine. It has a lot of power, doesn't it? But the officer in the army, Any officer, I suppose, the tank commander. The commander can stand in front of that tank, put his hand up, and the man that is driving that tank better stop. The man driving the tank, he has more power. But the officer that puts his hand up like this, he has authority. Amen? And we better yield to his authority. So, the word is saying that when that happens, when that now happens, this is what is coming in its fullness. We didn't talk about the kingdom either, did we? Now has come the kingdom. But I thought John the Baptist said the kingdom was at hand. I thought Jesus brought in the kingdom. He did, didn't he?
Amen.
I thought we were preaching the kingdom. We are. We are. But there's coming a fullness of the kingdom. See, we're not just coming to bring you a word that we're all going to get fly away someday and why does this man-child company need salvation, strength, kingdom, and power? Because for 3.5 years, we are going to be facing a warfare such as this earth has never seen before. Satan will be down on that carnal realm doing his level best to try to destroy the earth. And God is going to give us the power of His kingdom, the authority of the Word. No, Satan, you will stop. No, Satan, you will not destroy this city. No, New World Order, you will not prosper. In the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It says, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Satan, the accuser. Now that's one of his main weapons, isn't it? Accusation. Have you ever been accused by the devil? And in what form did the accusation come? Often comes from the mouth of someone else, doesn't it? Slander, tale-bearing, gossip. Speaking against your brother. You see, when we do that, we become part of Satan's kingdom. And And that kind of thing is cast down. It says, and they overcame. Overcome. How many of you know we're the overcoming company? Amen. And how are we going to overcome? I see three things here. They overcame by what? The blood? The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. And by what? Love not their lives. What did Jesus say about loving your life? He that seeks to save his life will what? Will lose it. But he that loses his life shall find it. Save it.
Amen.
You see, the principles of the kingdom are so completely different from the principles of the world. Satan's kingdom, he says, oh, you need to try to save your life. You need to do everything to take care of yourself. Don't take care of anybody else. Now, how are we going to overcome by these weapons? How do you overcome by the blood of the Lamb? How do you overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb? What does Satan accuse you of? He accuses you of your sin. He comes and he said, oh, I know about you. I remember what you did when you were 14 years old. And I know about your history. I know how you lived when you were 20. And I know that I believe I still have that place in you. And he goes on and he reads your history. And he tries to tell you, see, I'm still in control of your life. And what do you say? No. The blood. Satan, it is written. The blood of Yeshua has washed away my history. Amen. God does not see that anymore. And furthermore, I'm going to speak it out with the word of my testimony. You know, the word of my testimony is not just my thoughts. How many of you know Satan cannot read your thoughts? God can read your thoughts. But Satan cannot read my soul. Now, he's been around for 6,000 years watching man. And when he whispers something to you and watches the way you react, he can get a pretty good idea about what you might be thinking. But I'm going to use the word of my testimony. And I am going to say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. I'm going to say it out loud. Because I know there are devils that are listening. I am going, you know what I do when the devil starts tormenting me and trying to get me to feel guilty and to feel bad? Oh, devil, you want to hang around me? Let me tell you about the glory of God. Let me tell you about the brightness of Jesus. Let me tell you about His coming glory. Let me tell you, my goodness, with the great clouds of witnesses. Oh, He's coming, His brightness is coming over all the earth. Oh, let us praise His holy name. Satan, you want to hang around me? Do you like hearing about the glory of Jesus? No, he doesn't like it. He's gone. I don't want to hang around that man. I don't want to be around that woman. She's always praising the Lord. I don't like it. Our testimony. Word that will be coming out of our mouth. Word about the blood. Word about Jesus. Satan, now has come salvation. My salvation is coming to fullness, Satan. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, talk about the kingdom of God. Satan won't hang around you. He hangs around when there's darkness. Bring in the light. Open up your soul and let the light of God come in. There'll be no room for Satan. He hates the light. No more depression. No more feeling sorry for yourself. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well,
amen.
Oh, there's another ingredient here. Love not their life unto death.
Ayaw ko na pag higugma ang imong kinabuhi.
They love not their life unto death.
Ayaw pa kinabuhi bisan pa diha sa mamatay.
What does it say in Philippians 3 verse 10? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
They want the power of His resurrection. We want that dunamos power, don't we? Amen.
Amen.
and the fellowship of his suffering. How well do you want to know Christ? Do you want to know this part of Christ too? You see, this man-child company is going to know Christ. We are going to know resurrection power, and we are going to know the fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. Hallelujah. Therefore, verse 12, we'll finish with that. More chapter left, but... Therefore, because of that, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Now, who is this book written to? Is this book written for people like you and me that sit in chairs and eat lunch and things like that? Yeah, it's written for people like us. It's not just written for angels in heaven and people that have died. It's written for people that are still alive here on this earth. So it says, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Can I dwell in heavenly places? If you are, the word says you should rejoice if you're in heavenly places. And woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Heaven, earth, sea. Rejoice, ye heavens. Woe to the earth. And woe to the sea. Now, look, here's a church that is still an earthy church. The term earth means carnal. That is why God is saying you've got to come above the earthy realm. When this happens, hell is going to open up against earth and sea. You see, the accuser is... He's here now on the carnal church and the world. The sea is the unredeemed masses of humanity upon the earth. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That's far enough for now. If you have questions, we can talk about them.
So once again,
think about it. If you have other questions, you can bring them up some other time. Yes.
Because you see, you talk about
number 666. Let's find where it's given here. 13, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, here we are. Verse 16, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. For the most part, they are not natural numbers. They represent spiritual things. If we're going to understand the book of Revelation, we have to understand it is a spiritual book. It is not a natural book. Now the number 6 is the number of man. Okay. Man was made on the 6th day. So the principle is that under the law, God said to Moses that man will have 6 days. He can labor in his 6 days, but on the 7th, I want that to be my day.
Ang ito ko sa katong ikaw ng mukha at daw kung kunya ang ikaw
likewise, God has given the earth 6,000 years. In Peter it says that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So throughout the Bible we find that 6 always speaks of the number of man. So when a thing is repeated 3 times, it means man, 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 the fullness of man. So we have come to a time when man has come as the height of his achievement. For instance, these kind of things. This. It's the best that man has ever been able to make. But it's still not the fullness of the kingdom of God. And so Satan intends to bring in his kingdom on the best that he can get from man. Does that explain the number? Don't look for a natural tattoo in your forehead or on your arm.
In addition to that, because I heard some people teach that others will know.
When I ask you today, it doesn't mean that I am outside of this city.
I understand.
But I am true.
Yes.
I am true.
Yes.
But as what I have heard, in the Olympics, teachers, they say that in addition to the Christian, if you have a number, you couldn't be able to buy, you couldn't be able to sell, or you cannot let your children go to college, go to school, unless you have a number. So, but I am not fastened in my mind. So I just only raising up the questions in order for us to know all. Because that is usually the teaching, the common teaching, as well as also in the mindset of the living in the Philippines. So how can we review that? How can we
Yeah. Amen. We're not talking about a natural number here. I have natural numbers. I have plastic things with numbers on them. Driver's license number, social security number, credit card number. I mean, everything I have has a number on it. That's not Satan's kingdom. Satan wants to put his system of man, man, man to the point where he does not allow anyone to do anything unless they become part of his New World Order system. And I believe there will come a time when he will try to prevent the people of God from buying and selling. And this is why, brethren, we need to come up higher in God. Because he will take care of our needs when we cannot take care of them. Let me give you an example. Nebuchadnezzar built an image on the plain of Dura. And the image of gold that he made was 60 cubits high. And 6 cubits across.
Yeah, 6 cubits for the
Isn't that interesting? There were 2 sixes.
60.
2 sixes in that number. In the dimension. And you see, this was Satan's attempt back in the days of Nebuchadnezzar to control all men. And the plan was that all men would come and bow down at this image. But 3 men love not their life unto death. They didn't have the blood, but they had the word of their testimony. And they said, King, you might be able to kill us, nevertheless, we will not bow to that image. And you see, God supernaturally preserved them from the fiery furnace. And when it comes time that we will either have to bow to Satan's new world order or he will not give us food, then God will preserve us. But you see, brethren, you don't want to remain down here in the earth church system. Because the outer court of that church is going to be destroyed by Satan. Amen. Well, I don't want to hold up your lunch, and we do have more time. We have the afternoon yet. So let us let the brethren close the meeting now, and we can continue another time.
Okay. Mr. Marina, we're